This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا والحمد لله الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد والحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهدي ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلام عليه عباد الله قال الله تعالى في الكتاب المبين بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب ومن يتوكل على الله فهو حسبه إن الله بالغ أمره قد جعل الله لكل شيء قدرا وبعد. One of the concepts in our faith that is so important on a daily level, you know, there are some things that you have to go over once a month, once a year, you know, once every so often, but there are some concepts and some elements of Islam that it feels like you almost have to be reminded of them daily. One of them is tawakkul, this idea of relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and trusting in Him. And the reason why tawakkul is so present, it's like the air that we breathe, is because we are constantly reminded of our limitations as human beings. We're always being put to different tests. Allah ta'ala says that He created us. لَقَدْ خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. He created us in a very, very difficult state that requires a lot of exertion and effort. And sometimes in the midst of that, a person starts to lose hope, lose faith, and ultimately lose trust in the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you see constantly in the Quran and in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this reminder about trusting in Allah. And not just trusting in Him as an element of trust, but trusting in Him totally. That nobody else, no other person or group of people is ever going to be able to offer assistance or to harm if they are operating outside of the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that way. It is an important virtue. It brings people sakina. It grants us perspective. It allows us to be able to process and move through very difficult times. And it enables us to face life and every challenge that we have with a sense of contentment, with a sense of gratitude. In the verse that I quoted in the beginning of the khutbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah At-Talaq, which is the chapter titled Divorce. And again, a lot of perspective here. The idea that divorce is not something that is easy. No one wakes up wanting to get a divorce after they've been married. right? It's a realization. It's a point that a person comes to. Divorce is from necessity. It's not a luxury. It's not a preference. It is something very challenging upon people who go through it. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for them in the process and after. Ameen. And so in the chapter that talks about divorce and that highlights elements of divorce, it's titled Divorce, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in the very beginning brings up this content, this idea of trusting in Him. He says, وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Allah Ta'ala will provide for people who are mindful of Him, who remember Him constantly. He will provide for them in ways that they never imagined, from avenues they never could have conceptualized. And he says, and whoever relies upon Allah, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever is able to get to that point in life where they can place their trust in Allah, they will find that as a result of that placement, Allah will be enough for them. Because the question that everybody asks when they're told, remember Allah, trust in Allah, is, okay, and then what? Okay, but what else? But okay, but really, practically, like, how am I going to solve this? And the person being told is being reminded by Allah that if you are able to put trust in Allah, you wouldn't even have those questions. You would do your part, you would place trust in Him, and then you would go about your way knowing that whatever it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to destine for you will not miss you. And then he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accomplish His purpose. Inna Allah baligh amri. No one can ever make Allah miss. No circumstance or situation can ever change what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. You know, you and I, we run into delays. People can change plans. Things can move around. We strategize and then we re-strategize. In fact, one of the things that we praise people for is their ability to adapt. Isn't that amazing? We praise people for their ability to adapt because change is so part of our life. But with Allah, there is no need to adapt because no one can bump Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan off course. Inna Allah baligh amrihi qad ja'ala Allah li kulli shay'in qadra. Allah Ta'ala has given everything its due measurement, its due decree. So this concept of tawakkul is one that is very simple to conceptually understand. If I ask anybody, what does it mean to trust in Allah? Then we could all answer with our words, but it's very difficult sometimes to actualize the concept. We understand these things in theory, but they're not always easy to do, especially when a person is being tested. Everything is so easy in theory and abstract, but when you're going through the moment, right, when you see someone who is sick or injured, you tell them, I'll make dua for you, be patient. But then when you're sick, when you're injured, then you start to have those thoughts creep in. Someone gets laid off from their job, you say, don't worry, Allah will give you something better. But then when you have that test, you wonder, will Allah give me something better? And so these moments are moments that have to be practiced and built up to. So in today's khutbah, I wanted to climb this mountain with you, tawakkul. Because from far away, mountains always look smaller, right? But when you get up close, you realize that this is going to be a lot of work. This is going to require a lot of work. So Imam Al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, he gives a beautiful perspective, an equation on how a person can think of tawakkul and how a person can build to tawakkul. The first step, he says, actually, is that a person has to sharpen and perfect something called patience. A person has to become very good at the skill of patience. And I say skill because I want us all to understand that. A skill is something that a person has to develop. They have to work on it. Some people may have been given, you know, intuitively some better level of patience. But in all aspects, everyone in this room can become a more patient person, a better patient practitioner. And the Prophet ﷺ, he teaches us this. There's a narration from Anas radiallahu an that's in Bukhari and Muslim, where the Prophet ﷺ, marra nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi imra'atin tabki 'inda qabrin. The Prophet ﷺ, one time he was passing by and there was a woman who was weeping near a grave. She was grieving. And some other narrations detail that it was one of her family members, one of her relatives that she was crying about. So it was clearly something very difficult for her. So the Prophet ﷺ, of course, he's the most intelligent human being on the history, in the history of the world, most emotionally intelligent person. He doesn't try to make a scene, but as he's passing by, he pauses, and his words are worth more than their weight in gold. So he pauses and he gently says with his beautiful voice that, oh dear sister, Allah is with you. He says, ittaqillah, Allah is, remember that Allah is with you. And he says, wasbiri, just bear with this patiently. Almost as if to say, again, because he's so good with few words, right? Jawami al-Kalam. He's so good with few words. He's not going to give a thesis statement. Let me explain to you patience, and then goes through. He says, ittaqillah wasbiri. Allah will be with you. Just, I know you can't see it now, but you're hearing it from me. And her response is actually astounding. قَالَتْ إِلَيْكَ عَنِّي. Without looking, she says, get away from me. Like she's speaking to the voice that's talking to her. And then she says, فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تُصَبْ بِمُصِيبَتِي. This is one of the most amazing lines. Because you've never experienced what I've experienced. You've never been tested like me. Beside the fact that it's not responding to the advice that the Prophet ﷺ gave, she's actually not right here. She's inaccurate. Because is it not the case that the Prophet ﷺ himself, that he experienced a lot of loss in his life? Is it not the case that he never, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, met his father? Is it not the case that his mother passed away suddenly when he was very young? Is it not the case that his grandfather passed away, his uncle passed away? Is it not the case that his wife passed away, Khadija radiallahu anha? Is it not the case that he lost his family? Do you think he's ever experienced loss? Do you think he knows what it's like to cry over a grave? Of course he does. And so sometimes when we don't have patience, we say things that are actually quite foolish. And that's why the best thing a person can do, من صمت نجا, just be quiet. Because you might say something in your moment of impatience that you regret, and that is wrong, and in this case is actually pretty disrespectful. Now, who is she speaking to? She's also speaking to Rahmatul Lil Alameen. So she's not speaking to you and me, because if it's you and me, we just say, you know, Allahumma lightning bolt, and it's done. You don't talk to me like that in public, right? Because then we start thinking about power. Oh, people are going to think that I'm weak. And this. No. The Prophet ﷺ, again, emotionally intelligent, most emotionally intelligent, he walks away. He walks away. Someone comes up to her, فَقِيلَ لَهَا إِنَّهُ النَّبِيِّ. You just said that to the Prophet ﷺ. I'm laughing again because of awkwardness. I'm not laughing because it's funny. And so she goes to the Prophet ﷺ, فَآتَتْ بَابَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ. She went to the door of the Prophet ﷺ. فَلَمْ تَجِدْ عِنْدَهُ بَوَابَيْنَ. That she saw that there was no one that was kind of, you know, no security, no guards that were guarding the door. فَقَالَتْ. She spoke to the Prophet ﷺ through the door. لَمْ أَعْرِفْكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. She didn't know what to say. I just didn't know it was you. I'm sorry. And the Prophet ﷺ, he smiles and he says to her, إِنَّمَا الصَّبْرُ عِنْدَ صَدْمَةِ الْأُولَى. Patience, my dear sister, is not when you realize that you have to be patient. Because that's easy, right? Like, if you come to the point where you realize you have to be patient, you miss the train of patience. It's already left the station. People who are really good at patience are able to be patient immediately when something hits them. And the better we get at this, the shorter the time it takes us to adjust that moment. No one's perfect at this, right? Someone gets bothered, someone gets hit with something, and it takes us time to adjust. Even your eyes, when someone turns the lights on in a dark room, it takes your eyes a little bit of time to adjust, right? It's part of who we are. But the more patient you become, the more tawakkul you develop as a result of your patience, then the quicker your turnaround time is for patience when you need it most. Now, patience has its own obstacles. One of them is perspective. It's hard to be patient if you're constantly thinking about yourself. The Prophet ﷺ taught us that one of the things that will make you more patient is when you think about others, especially those people that are going through something similar. Imagine how patient she could have been had she seen it was the Prophet ﷺ, knowing that he lost people like she just lost someone. And then her statement wouldn't have been, إِلَيْكَ عَنِّي. It would have been, Ya Rasulullah, give me advice. Help me through this. Perspective would have helped her have that patience. The Prophet ﷺ told companions that when they were going through difficult times, to think of the people that had less than them. to think of those that were worse off than them. Because when you're going through something, all you see is how bad your life is. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows you, through His mercy and generosity, how good you really have it. How good you really have it. Perspective. The other is uncertainty. Because it's hard to be patient when you don't know when the test is going to end. It's hard to be patient when you're not sure if you'll ever be the same. It's hard to be patient. During the Battle of Badr, the Prophet ﷺ was very, very concerned, right? His iman never wavered, of course. But the human part of the Prophet ﷺ, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. Allah told him to tell the I'm a human being just like you. I have human emotions just like you. Part of his emotion that day on the day of Badr was that he was concerned. Not for his own success or victory, but because he was genuinely worried, will the Muslims be able to make it through this? And so there's a very well-known narration from Sahih Muslim in which the Prophet ﷺ stood there and he raised his hands to the sky, begging Allah, crying to Allah. And it's narrated by Umar that he said that on the day of Badr, the Prophet ﷺ, he looked at the mushrikeen and there were over 1,000 of them. And then he looked behind him and he saw the 300 or so Muslim individuals with him. And he saw the way that the mushrikeen were armed and prepared. And he saw the way that the Muslims were not as well prepared. And he called out to Allah and he said, "Oh Allah, grant me what you have promised me. Oh Allah, give me what you have promised me. Oh Allah, give me what you have promised me." He repeated it again and again. "Oh Allah," he said, "if this small group of believers, if this is it for them, if they perish, then no one will worship you on this earth. I don't know what else to say, Ya Allah. That is my fear. That is my concern." And then Umar said that he kept crying out to Allah and his hands were outstretched to the sky until his shawl fell off of his shoulders, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another narration, it was narrated by Ali radiallahu anhu, he says, وَمَا فِينَا إِلَّا نَائِمٌ. On that night before Badr, he says, there was not a single person except that we were asleep, we were resting. إِلَّا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Except for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, tossing and turning, we use that phrase a lot, right? When you're uncertain of what tomorrow looks like, you toss and turn, you can't sleep. So he says, وَمَا فِينَا إِلَّا نَائِمٌ إِلَّا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ تَحْتْ شَجَرَةٍ يُصَلِّي وَيَبْكِي حَتَّى أَصْبَحَ. The whole night he was just in prayer, weeping until the morning came because of this lack of certainty. So these are the two things that obstruct our ability to have patience. And that's why Allah Ta'ala, He tells us, وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Allah will take care of you in ways you never thought. You don't have to worry about the certainty of it. That's not your job. Allah never told you to figure out exactly how things are going to work out. All He told you to do was what? Trust. That's it. And some of the scholars like Imam al-Ghazali and others, they say that Allah will test people when they lack trust in Allah, and He will take away all avenues of human resolution of their problem so that they have no choice to trust in Allah. They are forced to trust in Allah. And when they trust in Him, they reach a level and Allah removes the test so that they have this new skill called tawakkul. May Allah Ta'ala grant us patience and may He grant us tawakkul. Another important element of trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is believing that He's there with you at all times. And this is something that the Prophet ﷺ, he told Abu Bakr in the cave when they were making hijrah, when they were being chased down. Abu Bakr was concerned that they were going to be caught. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, مَا ذَنُّكَ يَا أَبَا بَكْرِ. What do you think, O father of Bakr? O Abu Bakr, what do you think? إِثْنَيْن. Two people, ثَالِثُهُمَا Allah. Would you ever be worried? Would you ever be concerned if you knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was with you? And Allah ta'ala, He memorialized this moment beautifully in the Quran for us. When He said, إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. As soon as this moment was memorialized, Allah ta'ala said that one of them, one of the individuals, ثَانِي إِثْنَيْن, إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ. When they were in the cave, one of them said to the other. Allah is leaving the names out here, but we know from the seerah what this was. Allah is with us, don't be afraid. فَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَيْهِ. The moment that realization hit them, and a lot of people in here are nodding right now because you know what that feeling feels like. Take the responsibility off of yourself and put it back where it belongs, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do everything you can and leave the rest up to Allah. Now, once patience has been practiced, Imam al-Ghazali moves to the next stage, which is gratitude. How does a person gain trust in Allah? Number one, work on being more patient. Get perspective. Realize that Allah is in control. The second is being more grateful to Allah for what you already have. Allah has already given all of us an amazing resume of His blessings. None of us can look forward and say, I have no idea what it's like to be given blessings by Allah. I have no idea what it's like to trust in Allah. Because if you look behind you on your life timeline, you'll see that you have countless examples. Countless examples of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you. The Prophet ﷺ one night was praying, and he was praying so much that his feet began to swell. And from the swelling of his feet, there were maybe these small cracks that started to develop on the heels of his feet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And his wife Aisha radiallahu anha, she became concerned and she said, Ya Rasulullah, why are you doing this to yourself? Why are you exhibiting this level of ibadah, of worship? You've already been given everything in terms of the akhirah. We all know where you're going to go. We don't know where we're going to go. Shouldn't it be us that are standing in the night praying and not you? And he responded by saying, is it true? Is what you're saying true, that Allah has solidified my position in the akhirah as a prophet, that I will be in Jannah? She said, yes, of course. Then he says, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. If that's the case, if what you're saying is true and Allah has given me this station, then isn't it upon me that I should become a grateful person, a grateful servant to Him? Gratitude is one of the locked doors, the keys to the locked doors of tawakkul. Think about all the times in your life that you thought nothing was going to go the way you thought, and then you pass by it 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 months, 5 years, and subhanAllah, everything is all good. Everything's just fine. You thought your life was ending, but in reality, alhamdulillah, you're still here. This concept, Allah, our life is like hills and valleys. When we're in the easy parts, we forget about how to harvest those moments to remember them in the hard parts. But you have to harvest those memories so that when you're climbing that hill and you never know if it's going to end, you remember the last time you did the exact same thing. May Allah Ta'ala give us that perspective. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the verse that I quoted, and I want to conclude where we began. Allah Ta'ala, He mentions in that verse that whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever has taqwa in him, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, that Allah Ta'ala will always be there for people who believe in Him and who fear Him and who remember Him. And that's the result of all of this hard work, this patience, this shukr, this tawakkul, is that now in any situation you find yourself, who's the first one that comes to your mind? Is Allah. Allah wants me to bear patiently. Allah has given me so much. Let me rely on Him. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. You've reached now the state of God consciousness, of taqwa. And guess what? Your opening is about to come. Your exit, your relief from this difficulty, once you hit these 3 points, is about to come. And then Allah continues, وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. And whoever places their trust in Allah, He'll be enough for them. And remember, Allah will always provide for you from places you never thought possible. May Allah Ta'ala grant us this gift of tawakkul. May Allah Ta'ala make us people who are patient, who are grateful, and who rely upon Him alone. قل قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون أقيموا الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي للصلاة حي للصلاة حي للفلاح حي للفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله